It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 63 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray.
Carson, the day this episode posts is the first day of the 2017 Star Wars World Championship weekend at the Fantasy Flight Game Center in Roseville, Minnesota.
And for us X-Wing players, our first big event will be the Team Epic event on Thursday evening, and then we'll go into Friday for day 1A, which Tim's playing in, and then I'll be playing on Saturday in day 1B, and that will all culminate on Sunday for the top 64 players in each wave, playing two more rounds and then cutting to top 16.
So for today's episode, we're going to be focusing in on where we think the meta is going into Worlds, and then also share some of our predictions of what we're going to see at those final tables in the championship. We've got a promising week of X-Wing coming up here, so let's get to it.
So on the previous three episodes, we've talked about kind of what each faction is bringing. We had Kevin Lyons on to talk to us about the strengths of the Rebel faction right now. We talked about all the different aspects Scum have, all the different kinds of mind link lists that you can play. And we had Jamie Krek on just last week to talk about how the Imperial faction is going to play at this Worlds. We're going to try and put that all together and figure out what this all means.
So Carson, coming off of the previous World Championship, but more specifically coming off of the most recent FAQ update, where we saw a lot of major changes to a lot of the most popular cards, the meta in a lot of ways was kind of wide open. We didn't exactly know what to expect in terms of what kind of list people were going to be flying and what was going to be a big deal going into Worlds. Now, since we've had these System Open series, we have a better idea of the types of lists people are going to be flying. Do you still feel like things are kind of wide open here, as we could have some surprising turns in what people bring to the World Championship?
I think it's narrowed a bit. I think people have kind of honed in on what's really great now, but I think the approach people are taking in lists has shifted. Previously, you had lists like Defenders with Palpatine backup or no Palpatine backup doing very well. You also had the Peritani list just racking up multiple focus tokens and using effects like Concord Dawn Title and Lats Razi Crew to just add even more defense. And so it was just really hard for any list to push any damage through. Now things have shifted towards, I have this big threat that will remove your ships very quickly. Can you take it out before I wipe your whole list? Whether that's a Fen Rao blasting spike damage backed up by a couple contracted scouts, or Miranda Donny threatening lethal bombs all over the place.
I think it's apparent within each faction that there are some clear front runners in terms of what the most popular ships are going to be flying. Scum and Villainy clearly has Fen Rao and contracted scouts with ordnance who can really drop damage out very quickly and very efficiently still, even after all the small changes and nerfs we've seen to contracted scouts. They're still a dominating force in the game. Looking at Rebels, we still see things like Miranda, who in combination with bombs and Sabine Wren has proven to be a formidable foe for any even remotely ace-like ship in the game. Imperials have struggled quite a bit. They've got a few new tools in their toolbox, and TIE Defenders are still quite efficient, even with the changes to the TIE X7 title.
Right, but even the Imperial players are moving away from their traditional defensive aces, moving towards the more offensively minded ones. The TIE SFs opting for target locks over the evade tokens the Defenders get, or Decimators with either Kylo Ren or Darth Vader, just trying to punch damage through. I think the overall mentality of lists has shifted from defense to offense, and I think we're seeing this across the board. And so this is, I think, the main thing shaping the meta overall, is this shift from how do I keep my ships on the table as long as possible to I just want to remove my opponent's threats as quickly as possible. And so then the next layer to that is, okay, my opponent has a very big threat, whether it's a Fen Rao, a Quick Draw, Miranda. What does my list do to remove that threat quickly? Is it that I also take a Miranda so that I can drop bombs on these aces and remove them before they have the opportunity to shoot? Or do I opt to take a bunch of munitions so I can target lock their Miranda through their Biggs defense? So these are the things we're seeing overall shaping the meta.
So Carson, looking at kind of the state of the game as a whole, I think it's kind of apparent to us, at least, we're anticipating lists like Fen Rao and two contracted scouts, or Fen Rao, Asajj, and a contracted scout, things like that. The state of the game as a whole, where do you feel like we're at? Do you feel like there's still a lot of diversity in what kinds of lists people can bring, or do you think people are really kind of pigeonholed into very specific archetypes and ship builds?
I think we have some clear front runners as to which aces you want to build your list around, or at least are most commonly being built around. But whenever an environment does become that focused, those ships become a little easier to target out. So with Fen Rao being very popular, Fen Rao has a pretty good defense, but has some limitations. No shield tokens, so any effects that deal critical damage are rather successful against him. So like the Darth Vader crew, even if Fen Rao evades your attack, you'll be able to punch critical damage through onto him immediately. And so that will be a very impactful effect. And so that's just an example. But so whenever the meta becomes a little narrow, that gives people a wide range of options for targeting specific ships.
Well, and I think there is enough room even using the existing most popular ships to try and figure out what you need to counter. So like we can talk about what we think kind of the leading ships, the meta-defining lists and ships are, but obviously we're going to see at Worlds people figuring out, okay, how do I play against that? What is my counter here? And I think there is enough room in the metagame right now where you can have a lot of nuance like that, where people can throw in these surprising twists, which on their own might not be the most efficient option, but in the state of the metagame as it is, will be very effective counters to the most popular list archetypes.
Right. So an example of this, which has always been a factor in the game, is pilot skill. So if the top aces I'm targeting are all at a certain pilot skill, I can choose to just one up them. So here, like Quick Draw works pretty well because he can easily get to pilot skill 10 or 11 and has a decent enough punch that can answer these aces pretty well. Yeah, so if we're looking at Miranda at pilot skill 8 and Fen Rao at pilot skill 9, if you want a ship to outmaneuver both of them, well, okay, maybe you need a pilot skill 10 or 11, so you have to look at a pilot skill 8 or 9 ship that doesn't really need an elite pilot talent that you can use veteran instincts or adaptability to get above that threshold. Or you could just look to go way lower in pilot skill and try to block them, not devoting resources to the pilot skill race.
Well, and one thing I love about the game of X-Wing is kind of the rock, paper, scissors nature of it. And we kind of see that manifested in what's popular right now. So you have a rebel ship like Miranda Donnie, who's very good with the combination of bombs and the Sabine Wren card. Pretty good at countering Fen, who's very popular on the scum side. Yet at the same moment, then you can start bringing in things like a pair of contracted scout jumpmasters, who are pretty good at taking on Miranda. Their lower pilot skill gives them opportunity to block her positioning. They've got that native barrel roll, which adds to their mobility. And then they can carry an ordnance loadout, which is pretty frightening even to, say, a Miranda Donnie. With a combination of a plasma torpedo and or a proton torpedo, you can drop her shields and start to eat into her hull and deal some serious damage pretty quickly.
Right, so then the Miranda list needs to bring, with her other ships, answers to contracted scouts. Traditional go-to Biggs defense might not be the best answer moving forward. The stress control definitely eliminates some of the mind link options. I mean, you also could just choose not to play this ace game, play a big ghost or decimator, and say, I have enough hit points to weather your storm, and my auto blaster turret accuracy corrector is gonna prove some nightmares for your range one Fen bonuses. So this is a long way of saying there's some obvious good lists and you're seeing those repeatedly show up, but the range of answers to those lists is pretty wide, but it's harder to be the player with the right answers because that requires a more perfect calling and you have to hit those lists that you're trying to answer.
Well, and that's a big part of the game, too. If you want to get into the top 16 cut, you're going to have to make it through a total of 9 Swiss rounds. And you're going to, sometimes that's very dependent on making these kind of hard calls. You're looking at those 9 rounds you're going to play, and you have to figure out, okay, what am I most likely to face? And assuming I hit the average of whatever's the most popular list out there, is what I'm bringing enough to win me those games, to get me a strong enough MOV so I can make that top 16 cut. As someone who's been playing the game for a while, I think it's easy to kind of assume that the meta is far too narrow. I know that Atani Mind Link is clearly a very popular choice and a very powerful choice. That being said, the options, like you're saying, Carson, are a lot wider than they've been in past iterations of what I've seen in the metagame. back when people were flying TIE Phantoms and loaded out Han Solos, it didn't even seem like there was that many options within those ship types, to the point that you're either playing list A or list B.
Right. Right now, you can play any kind of Fen Rao list you want. You also have the other choice of playing any kind of Moran Adani list you want.
And that's a cynical response, but it's still better than I think it's been in past iterations. And I think it's getting better. I think the FAQ update was a huge step forward for the game. And I'm just hoping they can maintain that kind of momentum and awareness for the elements of the game that detract from it and make it less interesting, and focus more on adding new elements and expanding on old elements that really make the game engaging and interesting to play.
Well, it's really interesting. Without the Zuckuss crew card being as impactful as it once was, and the shift towards even more munitions now, you would think ships like the TIE Interceptor or TIE Phantom would be pretty good choice, but just always that looming threat of getting your ship one-rounded by a bomb from Miranda with Sabine, that's just really terrifying. And I think that's kind of the element that's missing to make this like a completely nuanced meta. It's kind of a rock, paper, scissors game where you're playing with some broken, rusty scissors right now. It's not quite as effective as the other two options.
Yeah, I think we can expect some decent surprises in what makes it to that top cut. A lot of predictable stuff, but at the same time, I think there'll be a couple items in there that we weren't fully expecting.
I agree.
Hey, Radio TCX listeners, time for a quick Patreon update. We will be announcing our May raffle winners next week, just to make sure we give time for all the pledges to process through properly. Make sure everyone gets their chance to win the prize. In the meantime, we do have some very good news. Target locks are finally on the way. I got confirmation this past weekend that they would be shipping out to me, so I will be able to start shipping those out to you listeners next week. For those of you who have backed the show and will be attending Worlds, if you have not yet received your target locks, you can send me a message on Facebook. I'm expecting to have the target locks available, and I will try to have me or Carson carrying some with us so that we could get those directly to you, so you don't have to wait for them to get shipped out and all that.
Yeah, if this applies to you, if you're still waiting to get a target lock from us, send us a Facebook message if you're going to be at Worlds so that we can know to be looking for you.
And if you would like to become a patron of Radio TCX, you can go on to patreon.com/radiotcx and support us at any level. That gets you access to the raffle. And if you support us at our $4 tier, you can get access to these awesome target locks.
And now back to the cast.
So for those of you newer to the game, I think maybe it would be beneficial to quick kind of go over the structure of what to expect this weekend. If you're not playing at the event, we will be offering coverage on our Facebook and Twitter pages, especially Twitter. That's where we kind of prefer to send our smaller, more frequent updates. Fantasy Flight is only going to be streaming X-Wing on Twitch during the Sunday finals, but our friends over at the Gold Squadron podcast are working hard to set up an X-Wing stream from both days of Swiss. So when the time comes for that stream to go live, we will post a link on Facebook so you guys can follow along.
Yeah, I think I might even be joining on the commentary on Friday. But we'll definitely post the links when we get them so that you can enjoy the Swiss streams.
As for the structure of the event, if you guys don't know, basically there are two qualifying days. Friday is day 1A and Saturday is day 1B. These are two qualifying days. The top 64 players after seven rounds of Swiss each day will move on to day 2, which take place Sunday. On that Sunday, these remaining 128 players will play two more rounds of Swiss. Then the players with the top 16 records from their combined score on both the qualifying day and the day two rounds of Swiss will move on to a top 16 elimination cut.
And then from there, of course, it's just single elimination until we have a champion.
Carson and I will be in and around the Fantasy Flight Game Center in Roseville for most of the weekend. If you see us, you can spot us in our signature red Radio TCX shirts. Feel free to come up and say hi. We'd love to talk to you guys. I guess the only caveat to that would be is if we're in the middle of an X-Wing qualifying game, probably not the best time to start a conversation.
It's fine. I'll probably be losing and appreciate the encouragement, so whatever. But it's always great to meet the listeners in person, so don't be shy and say hi.
All right, Carson, I thought we could close out going into the 2017 X-Wing World Championships with just a couple predictions, kind of summarizing how we really feel each faction is going to be represented at the 2017 World Championship. let's start off by looking at how we feel like the factions, the three different factions, are going to be represented, particularly in the top 16. Because to me, I feel like the top 16 is a good summary, overall summary of what the Swiss games were like and what factions are really the strongest.
Right. These are the players that made it through the great filter of 9 Swiss rounds. These are the lists that really proved themselves.
So I have a suspicion that we're probably going to be in agreement on this one, but looking at the top 16 faction representation, I'm going to guess Scum will probably be the most represented faction, don't you think?
I don't think on this one. I think I'm going to agree with you.
I think given the effectiveness and efficiency of Atani Mind Link, it's hard to not imagine several Rowboats and Fenisage somethings making it to that top 16 cut.
Well, even that, they also have lists like Dengar Bots that have a chance to slip through, and even probably some other combinations of Mind Link that haven't even crossed our minds because the applications with that card are just so wide.
So I would guess, the way I'd put it out, is probably about half of the field there, 8 to 9 lists, probably, I think, will probably be Scum and Villainy lists.
I think that seems pretty reasonable. I'd probably say 8 to 7.
So I guess then the real divide will come between, okay, what are we going to see from Rebels and what are we going to see from Imperials? Because I expect we'll see at least one list from each of those factions.
I am going to say, still going to rank Rebels higher than Imperials. I think we'll see 5 Rebel lists and 4 Imperial lists in the cut.
Okay, bold. I would go a little stronger towards the Rebel front just because I'm having a hard time imagining what lists Imperials can bring that'll really push through the top cut, except maybe in the hands of some of the best top X-Wing players who are really making those lists work. I would expect to see a little heavier on the Rebel side, probably closer to, I don't know, 6 lists, and then maybe just 2 to 3 from Imperials.
And I agree with your reasons there. I just think that while Imperials will, I don't think, be widely represented in the Swiss, I think they will make a greater percentage in the cut than they will in the Swiss, because they do have some great options, objectively, not in comparison to the meta. And so those real top-notch players who are able to find the exact right Imperial list and fly like they are one of the greatest pilots in the world, I think they'll disproportionately make Imperials represented in the cut.
Looking at things like pilot representation, because that's a whole nother category, because we can, even if we have a really high faction representation, that doesn't necessarily speak to what pilot's going to be most prevalent. Carson, what do you expect to be like the most prevalent handful of pilots that we'll see recurring throughout the top 16?
Well, I think we all know the number one pilot.
Ter Fenner?
The one and only Fen Rao.
Oh, Fen Rao. That makes sense. Yeah, his ability to deal out that really high spike damage and his effectiveness in combination with Atani Mind Link and almost any other Scum and Villainy ship that can also take Atani Mind Link, I think he'll be a very key player in that Scum faction, and he'll probably be a very frequently recurring figure seen across top 16 lists.
Yeah, I'm really struggling on which Rebel pilot will be the most common.
Well, Miranda seems like a strong choice on the Rebel front, but I think at the same time,
I'm torn on Biggs also.
Well, because Biggs's appeal is so universal. He can fit in right. So many different Rebel lists with different other pilots because his role is so versatile.
So I think Biggs might be my number two. I'm hoping Asajj makes a cut because that gives me a greater chance of making the cut. if there's a high number of Asajj players in the cut, then hopefully I'm one of them. So I'm a little biased there. I think you'll see a quick draw in the cut. I think you'll see at least one quick draw.
Yeah, I think with pilot skill 9 and a pretty effective way of dealing out damage quickly, I think quick draw is probably one of the strongest players Imperials are bringing to the game right now. So, Carson, top 3 most frequently appearing pilots in the top 16, what would you say?
Okay, now, are we counting generics for each time they show up or just once per list they're in?
I think once per list they're in.
Fen Rao, Biggs, Contracted Scout.
Okay, I think we agree
boring,
a little bit.
Though. That's boring. Really boring, though.
It seems a little boring. I would probably still put Fen Rao at the top. Go Fen Rao. I think Miranda's going to be pretty prevalent. So I'm going to say Fen Rao, Miranda, Donnie, and then probably Contracted Scout, just because of the versatility of that ship.
All right, what's your sleeper pilot, though? Which one do you think is going to sneak into the cut that nobody's going to expect?
So I think it would just probably be maybe one. I think we'll get one Manaroo in there. I think someone will get that figured out, even with the pretty severe nerf that she saw. I think we'll see maybe one Manaroo break the top cut. What about for you?
Mine's Rorik. It's one of those where
that synergy with Captain Rex to provide the pilot skill 12 damage reduction is pretty awesome. Or pilot skill 12 stress hog shot. Just some pretty powerful effects. I think Aurora could, in the right hand, slip through.
Yeah, that seems almost like a Paul Heaver trick there. So maybe we'll see him bring something cool. All right, and then lastly, let's look at upgrade cards. I think there's an obvious choice here for most commonly played upgrade card. I feel like a Tawny Mind Link will probably be on top.
You think that over Twin Laser Turret?
I think they'll both have pretty strong representation. The thing is, if you bring one Tawny Mind Link, you bring three Tawny Mind Links. So
right, and if you bring one Twin Laser Turret, you bring four Twin Laser Turrets.
At least, but I think there's a higher frequency of lists, obviously, that'll have one, maybe two Twin Laser Turrets in it compared to Atani, which I think will be all over the place.
Do you think there will be a higher count of Atani Mind Link cards in the top 16 than Guidance Chips?
Ooh.
Because I'm on the Guidance Chip side.
I think they'll be pretty close. The cross-faction thing gives that a slight advantage on the Guidance Chips. And the fact that a lot right, of scum think, also like to take guidance chips.
Does your average Atani Mind Link squad also include two guidance chips?
That's fair. Okay, so probably on the guidance chips
list to make it in.
Well, guidance chips is such a good card, though, in general. Like, it's hard not to see that prevalent, especially since it costs nothing. Like, to include that in your list, it's just the
auto thrusters.
Right, well, the opportunity cost, yeah, but not every ship that's taking guidance chips can take auto thrusters. Quick draw doesn't care about auto thrusters.
Well, it also costs lightweight frame for everyone else.
That's true. That's true.
But I think we'll see just enough guidance chips to make it over a Mind Link.
Okay, what's your sleeper upgrade guard, Carson? If you're going to ask me sleeper pilot, what's the one that's going to slip in there that no one's expecting?
Part of me thinks Inspiring Recruit, just because the stress control is pretty real, and having that 1 point crew member just really make your life a lot easier is nice.
I'm thinking more along the lines of Zuckuss again.
What? That is not a sleeper crew. You can't take the best card from Last Worlds and say that's my sleeper just because it got nerfed.
Yeah, but it saw a pretty substantial change, but I think people kind of underestimated it a little bit given the reasonably huge change it saw recently. It's still a good card.
What about Jin Erso?
You're alone on that one.
I'm just saying, Jin on an arc, those double firing arcs, you can get a lot of focus tokens. Turn one of those into an evade with Jan.
Good luck with that.
You can even do it. You can even do it during the combat phase with Thane Kyrell or Ahsoka Tano. I think my sleeper is Inspiring Recruit.
So these are just a few of our predictions going into the 2017 X-Wing World Championships. Obviously, it's going to be a very important event for the game. What we see at Worlds is going to define what we're going to see in the metagame for the next several months, even carrying us through a next release or two.
And if you disagree with our top pilots or have different sleeper pilots or crew cards, feel free to tweet those at us at Radio TCX Podcast.
I think both Carson and I are looking forward to the event. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. We really look forward to seeing any of you guys at Worlds. So if you do see us and we're not actively playing in a game, feel free to come up and talk to us. We love to meet you guys and chat about X-Wing and just gaming in general.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast. Make sure you stay up to date with Worlds there.
Yeah, and if you like the show, please consider going on to facebook.com/radiotcx and liking our Facebook page, or you can go on to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review along with a little comment saying what you like about the show. A huge thank you to everyone who's already left a review, including Shaferic77, who said, "Keep up the great work, boys." Thanks, Shaferic, and thanks everyone else who left a review.
Try our best, Shaferic. If you want to support the show directly, please go on to patreon.com/radiotcx and become a supporter of the show today.
Again, guys, thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week with our first Worlds recap. So stay tuned for that, and have a great week of X-Wing.